As you survey the facade of the vast library, you realize today has been a good day. Usually it's difficult to go out anywhere without a few humans following you home. The pheromones you emit in your wake, especially when you have been walking for a while or when arousing thoughts of your spouses back home have filled your head. Well, suffice it to say you've often walked into the library with a few people in tow. This is Fae territory. The Fae maintain the libraries. There are a few in isolated places that are maintained by Willow Maidens due to ancient compacts, but this one here is home to a particular Fae of your acquaintance. Keela is always glad to see you. You returned her books on time, and in perfect condition. And of course you would. There's so much you can improve about yourself from reading, so much you can do to relax and augment body and mind through the right words in the right place. The library has become a guilty pleasure, and often you've walked weeks away and on your way home, even knowing your many servants and lovers are waiting, you've detoured to the library. But today's day trip is just that, from home to here. The Fae marked individuals who maintain this place, those who've already sworn their loyalty and given themselves over to Teela or those like her who live here and who adore the written word and its maintenance. Those individuals are safe from your influence, protected. But anyone you happen to pass on the way here or other visitors looking to check things out are always at risk of falling into your wake. There aren't that many of you around, and you're the only one you've ever seen in a library. Though if you run into your sistren at some contest of strength or when walking in the mountains, you'll make sure to ask them to give it a try. For this library has everything. History. Stories of the war. Ways to forge weapons you'd never encountered before. Alchemy. You finally tried your hand and you have a knack. Science journals. Fiction. Romance novels. Mysteries. Things to keep the mind sharp or send you away to a place you wouldn't have thought of on your own, from which you can get new angles on your problems, your feelings, your life. Books have opened a whole new world. Your inclination toward them began long ago, but this place rekindled a flame. Some of it began as a project when you were looking to improve your claymore, but it's so much more now. Inside, you see that there's no one except Teela sitting at the front desk. She waved you in with a knowing grin and the true glee of librarians everywhere who see the person who's read their way through half of the place and plans to finish the rest. Today you are in the mood for more smithing and metallurgy, but you're definitely going to grab some new fiction, maybe a history book or two. There's always more to know. And things that drift into Teela's library can come from any one of a number of pocket dimensions or from travelers from other lands who've left their possessions here before going off in service to someone else. She picks through the dross, categorizes, restores, does everything you could imagine, and every now and then she gives everyone in the place the day off and just sits in her library. Today's a day like that. You walked in. You're looking around. You notice the lights are dimmed. There's no one in there except you and Teela. In fact, she says no one's been in all day. She'd be more than enough to handle a few humans coming in, and there are no major restoration projects for the books. So you whisk away to your favorite section of the library. The churn just between fiction and non-fiction. Vast shelves on one side stretching away into the distance, and on the other, the same. You could turn left and find yourself staring at a romance novel. Turn right and find yourself looking at the very reference text you seek. But today, standing in that long corridor, you just pause for a minute and do what you imagine Teela must do. Consider that you are in a place smelling of books, with vast high ceilings, numerous galleries, infinite turnings, though if you ever say to yourself, I think it's time to leave, the exit's never very far away. The joy of magic and space and time compressed. And today you want to know about elemental enchantment. So you're looking for that. Except pausing in that alley to take that deep breath, to inhale the scent of the books and feel yourself at ease. You see a human woman, browsing, Way off in the distance, but your eyes are keen. Long, black hair, wild like a mane. Her skin so pale, white in contrast. And you see glimmering along her hands, her neck, tattoos laid out, gorgeous ink. She's in a robe. You look to your own garb and realize you shouldn't really judge on practicality, and you quash down the moment where you thought maybe her robe sweeps in the dust because she might very well think you're wearing almost nothing at all. And if you really wanted to protect people from your pheromones, you would perhaps wear more, perhaps damp yourself down with perfume or something, but it's just not your way. And so, having never seen a human like her before, you shake it out of your mind, consider that staring is rude, and go to sift through for the book you want. A quick turn to the right into nonfiction, down three aisles, reference, metallurgy, looking at the numbers, searching your head. Although, of course, you could summon a volume if you knew it by name, but you're more generally browsing. Except you see her again, about five aisles ahead of you. She must have dashed to get there. She's adjusting her hair, teasing it back off her ears so she can look into a book without it falling forward over her face. You get a glimpse of her back when she's adjusting the robes, too. A particular tattoo, two black wings. Now that you're closer, your keen eyes can pick out everything. Draconic. Leathery. But it's just a tattoo, although it's in the right place. You wonder. Some kind of shapeshifter? Is she fae? No. There's no energy of it. No, it's a human. And then you realize, of course, while you've been closely observing her, she's definitely within range of your influence. And you got a little turned on at her bare, pale skin with its beautiful tattooed ornamentation. Someone that gorgeous probably already has a mark from someone anyway. So you go back to sifting through the books. Except you notice before turning back that what you thought was a robe that might sweep the ground was actually her overcloak, and she's pulled it off her shoulders, revealing more bare skin, more tattoos, and the robe underneath really ends about where her ass begins. Okay, she is in the same kind of clothes as you, revealing and skimpy as it gets. You shiver, and she turns, and she looks right at you, meeting your eyes with hers, dark, shining. You turn your head aside. Your cheeks color. No, don't approach her. As long as she's at the edge of your influence, she'll be fine. Assuming, of course, she isn't claimed, she must be claimed. Leave this one be, anyway. But she's just so kind of nice to look at. So you look back, saying that looking is no problem. She hasn't come closer, after all, so she must know and think what you do. Huh. She left the book she had, just kind of laying on the floor. Okay, that was smart of her. She got out of range of your pheromones. But you should put it back on the shelf for her. It's your fault she had to leave it so suddenly. You walk toward it. You reach down and pick it up. Now that she's clear, you safely can. She must have carried the book over here from fiction. This is non-fiction, but the cover, black leather cover. No title on it. Return it. Yeah, Chronicle of the Unbound. Must be some kind of fantasy story. You feel an icy hand on the small of your back. Your body seizes, but you don't move or think. Can't, don't. That's a good read. I know a good read when I see one. The moment passes. You turn, quick. No one's there. You look back at the book in your hand. Open now. Illustrations amidst the words. You flip through. The pages flutter almost on their own, and rather than an impression of words, you imagine there might be a drawing in the bottom of one page and another, so that when it flicks, they move. A black horse galloping. A forest, the leaves blown in a gale. Campfire, flickering. Darkness, clouding close. Woman shrouded in flame and smoke upon the pyre. A dungeon. Dark, with manacles hanging, candles lighting the darkness, shackles and chains broken, a blade to rival your own, shining, sitting in the dark, lifted in a hand. You don't want to ruin any of the book, so you close it rather than flutter the pages like that. You're going to have to put this back when you're in fiction, or just drop it off on a cart nearby. You were looking for elemental enchantments. You find them. Grab a few. know just where they are now, somehow. Take them up to Tila. A big stack, but easily fit under one arm and the other. There's about 30, maybe 40 there. She takes them, checking them out in a record book. Of course, it takes her an instant to run a hand along it and etch a signal identifying each book into her ledger. You wouldn't want to steal from this library, let's put it that way. She remarks, she envies how you can carry so many books in the satchel of yours. The massive bag is practically dwarfed by you, and you can lift it even with so many heavy volumes. She pauses at one. Chronicles of the Unbound. Not familiar with this. She holds it up. You see the black-bound book. You could have sworn you dropped it off on a cart, but you really want to read it, yeah? You admit it. Must have been found by a servant, Tila goes on. Brought here for I could assign it a place. They are so eager. No author named or listed. Give me a second to make an impression of it in the catalog, and I'll lend it to you. She holds one hand over it. You get the vague sense that something is flowing between the book and her palm. Her other hand is holding a quill, and she's jotting something, etching on a card, like an index card. She slips this away toward the back of her desk. There, I'll put that away in a moment. In any event, I want to wish you off. Her wings flutter, and she lifts off over the desk, lands on your side. The wings vanish a moment later. She reaches up, runs one hand lightly down your shoulder, tugs at something, a long black strand of hair in her hand. You ask her about the human that you saw earlier, as she continues fussing, primping, pulling away dust, and just generally preparing you as though you weren't about to go out onto the road. She always did like cleaning, organizing. It's become a little ritual between the two of you before you leave each time. No, you're the only one who's been in here. In fact, only one in all day. I've let you walk out with a few unmarked humans, some extra books before. I know you're good for it. But, no, there's been no one in. I do still keep track of who's here. No humans, but if you're in the mood, we could go out for drinks. You smile. You blush. You shake your head. You have to journey home. You wonder if maybe you've been on the road too long, and you just imagine the whole thing. You've got several human spouses deeply anticipating your return. But you don't want to completely turn Tila down, so you do say that next time you visit, you'll hang around when she gets off work. The two of you can go relax. It doesn't do to turn down her drinks anyway. It's a few days' journey back home. So you set out. A week-long trip every 2 months on foot. I mean, if you dash, and you have before, maybe you even did today, it takes a day, day and a half. There's no one really in sight a lot of the time on these roads, just the way you like it. You can even reread things before reaching the library, or read your new things on the way home. You're near the very first fork. From behind, the click of hooves coming from the distance. You get off the road, you do tend to block it. Yeah? You see a black horse approaching. Woman atop it. Long black hair fanned out behind her. Purple robe. Cloak buckled around her shoulders. The clopping of hooves sounded a lot closer than that, though. Maybe Tila didn't notice her, and she was headed home already. You try to pay her no mind, and you turn left. But a little while later, you hear the hooves taking the same path. You did it again. You somehow got too close. Your pheromones, your scent has seized her mind, her senses, her will. She's following because she belongs to you now. Always does happen. Now you have company. So you stop, and you wait. You have space enough at home for her. She's very pretty. She's interesting. And maybe the two of you could bond over books. You wait for her. And she does finally reach you, and now you know why the hoofbeats sounded closer. It's more suited to your proportion than hers. Massive. How'd she tame it? She slides down the side and seems to hover, leaving behind her cloak draped across the back. She strips off her robe the second she lands on the ground, alighting. And then falls to her knees, dropping it in front of her, resting her knees on her robe. Her entire body is tattooed, covered, head to toe, beginning at the back of her neck and weaving around her. You see roses, thorns, snowflakes, ice, every type of weapon you've ever wielded and more, bound in chains, flames on the backs of her hands, trees, leafless, fallen, on the front of her thighs, wings like you saw before, on her back. So much more, some too small to see, you'd have to keenly squint, even with your eyes. You could spend an entire day cataloging, observing. Everything I am is yours, miss. Take me with you, please, she begged. And of course, you were happy to say yes. She's already hopelessly captivated after all. She's thrumming with desire, her hands sliding between her legs, revealing her smooth slit. She slips one finger inside, staring up at you. Her breasts are gorgeous. She has one arm cupped under them as if to raise and display them for your enjoyment. It seems like it was quite the impressive feat of will for her to hold back as long as she has, but that's over now. You lean down, quickly, pulling her to you, lifting her off the ground. She's so light. Humans always are. She rubs her face against the nape of your neck as you hold her against you. She's rubbing between your tits through your very, very loose clothing. What do you think about binding? She asks, clearly proposing that she become so enamored of your pheromones that the two of you will never part, just as it was with your spouses and with others in the lands around your home. This question begs an answer. Then actions speak louder than words. If she's asking you to bind her, even if she's asking in that roundabout way, you would not deny her. You push your face between your breasts, one hand dug into her mane of dark hair. It's easy for her to press her face there, sink into them. You hold her there. She inhales deeply. You know in that moment any restraint is lost to her. Her legs clamp around your thigh. You keep her much smaller form supported, one hand under her butt now, the other still keeping her pinned to you, dark hair twining around your fingers. No longer need to guide her face against your chest, of course, because she's keeping it there, inhaling, kissing your muscled tanned skin where the top of your tunic pulls down. You slide your clothing out of the way, slip your leg up between hers. She begins grinding her bare sex against your leg, humping away. Pleasure filling her and arousal echoing into you as she makes more and more contact with your skin. She shudders, suddenly clamping down. It's all right, you comfort her, knowing the overwhelming sensations that must be flooding through her at your scent, your presence, your power, your pheromones in her brain. She must be commanded to worship every inch of your body at once by her own urge. The two of you make your way slowly toward the mount, like this, her still affixed to you. We really should not risk damage to the books, you say, but of course she's lost to any words. You manage to slip your bag off your shoulder, the massive heavy thing easily hitched to a post on the beautiful mount's massive saddle. You think back to what Teela said about there being no humans in the library, and as the petite one hugs onto you, as she rubs her face, as she moves her hands on every bit of you that she can reach, and you feel heat from the contact, your skin to hers, you are quite glad that the librarian was mistaken. And now you have the dilemma that the girl is gasping, rubbing her pussy against your leg, that she is moaning against you, and you don't even know her name. Indeed, you also don't know how you're going to get up into the saddle with her like that, but that's a nice problem to have. You ask her. It's Lenoa, she manages to say, in between rubbing her face against your tits once more. You admire and are aroused by her sheer dedication to learning every inch of you with her hands. You grip her hip with one hand and grind her willfully against your leg, adding friction. You feel the slickness of her dripping there. Then, your other hand moving to the other side, you lift her away, holding her at arm's length as one might a small animal, looking over her. She smiles down at you adoringly. The corners of her eyes are wet, and now she's taking in every inch of your body with her eyes as you do the same. You note more and more tattoos. They're so beautiful, intricate. It's such marvelous work. You ask her where she got them, and panting, clenching her thighs together, running her hands along your strong arms as you hold her up so effortlessly. You know, many of them I don't know. She's so clearly suffering that you decide not to press any further just now. There'll be time to learn more about her. In the throes of your pheromones, she seems right on the edge, close as she is. So, you set her down on the ground. You see how she wants to dive for you, press her face between your legs, rub against you once more. Her hand is back between her legs, and she's masturbating lightly, not too firmly. There's something in her eyes that hungers for you, and you in particular, good. You walk to the mount and climb up, one nimble motion, feeling your body flow. As you seat yourself on it, it just seems natural. The beast does not stir in the slightest to have an unfamiliar rider on it. It looks back over its shoulder with a keen intelligence that's quite comforting. You look down at your newest friend. She's gathering up her clothes off the ground. You reach down, one hand extended. "Come on," you say. You see her freeze halfway through. Her eyes widen. She shudders, hunches over, leans against the flank of the massive beast, groaning, her entire body squeezing tight. She really is in the throes of your pheromones. She took the word come as a command. Obviously, she was already thinking of doing just that. Eventually, she takes your hand, and you help her up as she climbs the tack back into the saddle, nimbly. You think she floats at the end there, seeming to lose all weight. That might be quite useful. As powers go, there's obviously something going on. But right now, you don't care that much. You nestle her as you sit side saddle, comfortably, on your lap, pressing her head back into your breasts. And you just let her brain bathe in your pheromones. You once more admire the tattoos, sliding one hand down to her lap, grabbing the reins with the other. And you let the horse begin to walk along the path. Since your route follows the road most of the way there, you know it will slowly but steadily walk you to your destination. You feel wetness on the tip of your finger and curl it against her pussy, rubbing there. Your pheromones don't affect you, but seeing them affect someone else is its own unique joy. Seeing the way she pushes her head back between your breasts, inhales with her eyes closed, clutches your thigh. The way her legs are torn between spreading wide to let you put your finger deeper, let you rub her clit, and clenching tight to increase the pleasure and let her grind. Neither of you is in any danger of falling out of the saddle. You notice that. Every time you correct or there's a bend in the path, she perfectly shifts in your lap for both of you to remain balanced comfortably. Even when she's shuddering, even when you're fingering her, even when she's moaning, panting, trying to get her mind back in check. You decide, after she first begins to clench hard, tight on your finger, she's coming, that you want to get some pleasure of your own, even though you'll save letting her worship your pussy for when you get home. You want her awake enough to make introductions to your spouses on the way in the door. But you turn her in your lap, keeping your hand between her thighs, and bring her face against the tip of your breast, against your nipple. She opens her mouth and fastens it on instantly, sucking with a desperate, hungry, lascivious desire for your body. her other hand, the one that she isn't trailing back to rub between her legs on her clit while you finger her, the one that she isn't helping you with. Her other hand reaches out, grabs your other breast, and begins just rubbing your nipple. It's almost difficult for her to get her fingers around much of your chest, but she can grab right at the nipple and pinch, and you love the feeling, contrasting the tension on one breast with the sucking, desperate licking on the other. And you ride that way with the formerly composed, quite alluring, dark-haired new acquisition, sucking away on one breast, massaging the other, and leaking the signs of her arousal down your fingers onto your leg, over her thighs, which she occasionally squeezes shut so she can ride a little bit, jostling on you. The mount below doesn't even complain, just carrying the two of you toward your destination. As she comes, and as a delightful heat spreads from your breasts between your legs, you come up on your house, really more of a fiefdom. One of the lords of the near shore granted it to you, after you assisted them in holding a nearby valley against some kind of animated magical catastrophe. You didn't fully understand it, but you know your claymore worked on it. You wanted to test out your adaptation of elven sword techniques to larger weapons and greater strengths, and it worked well. The humans in the fields and sitting on their doorsteps shiver when you pass, in pleasure. Then they turn up the incense and the burners in their homes until you and the gorgeous human enigma still fastened to your breast, though she's nodded off now and then on the journey, until the two of you have passed. The supply of protective herbs and emergency potions for those who get a little too enamored of your pheromones during the day has helped people stay largely unbound to you in the area, even though they benefit from your protection. The few who really decided to fully indulge in the pleasures that come of your body, your pheromones, your presence, live at your actual home on the hill. No such protective shield the girl who rides on your lap, either, so she must be truly far gone. The cottage in the distance. Three gorgeous spouses are preparing dinner for you, relaxing with books of their own, or tending to the wounded or abandoned animals you've always encouraged them to take in, and which your house has become refuge for. Lenoa's hands are groping what she can reach of you. Seemingly having sensed the dream's coming to an end, she's taking advantage of her close proximity, her face now just pressed into your cleavage, inhaling, rubbing. The physical contact feels so hot to the touch, but now and then there's a moment when that heat fades and there's something in her skin like cool, iron, and chains. You don't know why you thought that in particular, possibly because of the chains adorning the back of each of her fingers, but what she lacks in physical warmth at times is made up for by your own arousal at her touching you. You realize that's it. You've been so turned on, it doesn't matter if her circulation's a little poor. You're hot enough for the both of you. She makes up in sighs and gasps which captivate. You cannot wait to get her home, get a better look at every inch of her. The wind rises. She squeezes you more tightly, her hands in contact with your sides. On a whim, you pull the cloak from off your shoulders and throw it over your lap so it covers her completely, trapping her with your admittedly very wet sex, trapping her against your lap. She curls up instantly. You feel her fingers sliding between your legs. You enjoy it. You squeeze your thighs extremely gently. She gets some of your juices on her fingers, you can tell, and then she's slurping, licking. She finds your clit, rubs her palm against it, applying so much friction. The muscles in your inner thighs, the powerful pleasure your body's capable of, causes you to squeeze just a little. She's caged in with your pheromones, but also with access to your body. Your own gasps intensify as hers grow to a fever pitch. She's moaning under there. You reach down, remove the cloak, slide off, grabbing her as you do so, holding her against you, causing her fingers to slip away from your pussy. You catch your breath. Okay, bad idea to take someone so captivated with you and give them encouragement to stop focusing on your breasts and move somewhere else. One of her hands slips between her legs and your grasp. You hold her against your chest, scooping the arm around her back. Take your bag from the horse's side, and it walks off toward the stables quite on its own. You walk in through the door. A few puppies look up from the hearth. The fire is going merrily at one side of the residence, but the windows are open at the other. It's just for ambiance. It's always warm enough here. You set down your new companion. Suddenly, you're being hugged from every direction. Your spouse is pouring over. Lenoa has one hand on your thigh. But you watch as everyone else looks at her, dotes over her, runs their fingers through her hair. She smiles and leans into the touch. Right now, she'd probably enjoy any stimulation. You keep her there with you for the moment. And then, after your spouses have settled down, you've kissed each one hello, they go back to what they were doing. One's tending to dinner. Another is brushing some of the long-furred cats that have been moving into the house of late. And the last is drawing a hot bath, the better to soothe your bones after the journey. You decide, on a whim, to bring Lenoa in with you. You walk toward the bathroom. Your partner's just coming out and slaps you on the ass before pointing in. You shiver and give her a mischievous look. The two of you all have fun and catch up later, but they're all being very respectful of your desire to have time with the new person you've brought home. They all approve, or they would have said something. It doesn't matter how turned on they are by you, and truth is, they've gotten used to being turned on all the time. You see, the one who's reading by the fire now has begun edging. But they're more than happy to let you take her to the bath, and so you do. Lenoa's just been following along behind you. You turn now as you enter the room, closing the door. There are white fluffy towels laid out on a rack by the window, each of them huge compared to your new companion, and there's steam in the air from a bath. But next to it, there's a suspended spout for showering clean. You turn on the water, adjust it to be merely lukewarm, pleasant after the road. Throw your clothes aside into a hamper in the corner. There's a bench at the side of the bath. And you sit down on it, the water playing over your legs and lower body. At least until she gets in the way. Well, a little bit in the way. On her knees, her face sliding between your legs, her tongue finding your clit, beginning to just suck, lick, lap over it, lasciviously lavishing you with every long, slow lick she can dream up, spelling out letters on the surface of your sensitive nub, rubbing her face against your crotch, inhaling, licking up your juices, gripping your butt, sliding her hands under you. Well, one hand, because the other then slides to your inner thigh, and she begins massaging you. You chuckle, thinking, in between your own moans, gasps, little twitches, how is she going to do anything for muscles like yours? But she digs her fingers in, those fingers like chains, like cold, you remember. But no, they're quite warm, at least in the lukewarm spray from the shower behind. Hot, in fact. She's pushing against some little bundle of nerves on your inner thigh, radiating, sparking pleasure, pleasure through your body, up to your brain, and something shooting sideways into, up into, around your clit as she licks, as you look down at the diminutive figure, kneeling with the water washing, making her dark hair damp, making her whole body glisten. You look at it, inspecting the tattoos through the spray. But it's hard to inspect or focus on much of anything with her licking so ardently, so devotedly. You know she must be too far gone to do much thinking. She must just have to make you come. That's got to be why she's massaging you, pushing some pressure point even you didn't know about. Impressive. You thought you knew quite a bit on the topic of wrestling and delivering blows to all the right places, but this massage with just one of her delicate little hands is making your clit throb in her mouth. She has her lips fastened down, sucking, bobbing her head, almost as if she were fellating, just sucking your clit, moving her tongue. Your whole body's feeling it. You must be close by now. You must be, and she's sliding the other hand that was grabbing your ass up, slipping her fingers inside your pussy, desperate, your juices painting her, thinking of what a mess her mind must be, lost in your pheromonal control, lost in your presence, as you are in hers, captivated by the glisten of water on her skin. She keeps rubbing your thigh. You're getting close, close, and you just continue to get close. She keeps rubbing that same spot. It's almost rhythmic. You could get lost in the 1, 2, 3 tapping, pulsing movement of her fingers. And no matter how close you get to the ragged edge of your climax, to the release you've been waiting to have for the whole time you've had her nestled against your chest on the ride, for the whole time she worshipped at your body and you just dreamt of driving her wild, the orgasm you've been waiting on just won't quite come. And you know you're edged up, turned on. You know you should be able to quite easily just relax and let her push you over the edge. And you are letting her do what her brain must be programmed by your pheromones to make her do, help her want to do, drive her to do. But her whole body is so devoted to your pleasure. She so much wants to be there that you can't possibly reach down and add stimulation. It must be whatever she's doing, drumming, pressing. But you're right on the edge. All your thoughts are turning to your clit, to your dripping slit below. All your thoughts are turning to so much mush and just dripping away into her eager mouth to be licked up. But no amount of squirming in the lukewarm spray, no amount of trying to think your way to more and more erotic sensation, trying to drive yourself over the edge with your thoughts helping out, none of it can quite shove you across that needed finish line. Instead, you just have to listen to the smack, the lick, the lap of her worshipping at the grail between your legs, desperately lapping up the honey, drinking you in, drinking everything out of the world into her head, into her body. You look at the curve, you look at the glisten, you watch her move and squirm, you watch her response as you squeeze your thighs just a little, enough to make her face that much more immersed between them, to concentrate your pheromonal scent in her brain, to keep her licking, to make her feel the heat of you, and feel the way that your stomach is clenching, relaxing, your muscles all tensing, then easing up. The spray keeping the both of you clean, washing away some of your juices, what doesn't go on her tongue, into her mouth. But you're left there, riding the edge. She stops massaging your thigh, finally, she removes her mouth from your clit. You find yourself whimpering uncharacteristically, and you look down not to see a mindlessly aroused, pheromone-infused partner in heat licking away. You see keen, calculating gaze meeting your eyes, an impish grin. No, the corners of her eyes are wet, and she's extending her tongue to your pussy again. You must have imagined it. Except her hand is back in your thigh, rubbing that spot that sends both radiating spirals of pleasure outward and constrains the nearby confines of your wet pussy. She's fingering with three fingers. You squeeze down enough to feel them hard, hot, needy sensations. She's licking your clit, sucking, bobbing her head again, her lips smacking, forming a vacuum. But nothing she does ever shoves you over that edge. You're riding, riding, and writhing against it. She's just making contact, so much contact. The more contact she makes with your body, the more keenly you feel the way she is minutely shifting her hand on your thigh, moving to different little spots that vary the sensations, like you're being taken for two rides at once. The dedicated licking and lapping at your sex, and the ride in your mind as she just presses pleasurable erogenous sensations that spiral out to everywhere else, and especially to your brain. You feel the bond forming between the two of you. You feel the initial ice breaking is over, and now she's just growing more and more familiar with your body. In fact, the way she's licking, moving her fingers now, it's more skillful on the scale of what feels good to you than it was before. If you were masturbating, you'd be doing the same, except less effectively, because your fingers don't feel like her marvelous, worshipful mouth does. You want to come. You know how good it would be to just ride it out. And you know she'd react to the pheromonal infusion of your climax, of your release. The room is already heavy with both of you. You're not affected by your own pheromones, but you are affected by the way she's yearning. And she is whimpering, slurping, lapping. You're so close. And she pulls away. Her tongue, at least. But she keeps her fingers drumming on your inner thigh. Your hands slide unconsciously between your legs, replacing the void. But she takes the free hand and slaps your wrist. You let your hand fall by your side as she digs particularly hard into the spot, and your whole body shudders, gyrates, but no climax, just coming so close. You can't imagine hovering this close. I'm gonna go introduce myself, she says, and nothing more, withdrawing her hand. And you realize it's even worse when she's not touching the spot, because now you find yourself unable to imagine going over the edge. Because if she had let you come while she was there, it would have felt so good. So wouldn't it sully it? Wouldn't it spoil it to just reach down and touch it? You have that thought. We realize she's leaned up next to you, kissed you on the cheek, and been whispering. And how'd she move so quick, so stealthily? Those words weren't your thoughts. They were her purring in your ear. But the convincing train of thought sounded a little like your own. You see, she's wet. Her thighs are dripping with her juices, slickly mingled with the water that's been spraying over you both. She takes one of the huge towels, throws it around herself, walks to the door, turns and looks back. And she sees the way you slide one hand between your legs and begin to rub yourself, standing up from the bench with your hand there, but you're not touching your clit, and you're only gently rubbing your slit. You're not pushing yourself toward climax. You're hovering, edging. As you stand from the bench, your hand practically glued to your slick slit, which is also coated in her saliva from the worshipful memory of her kneeling between your legs. Yes, you walk toward the bath. You're going to slip in, but you know you'll be gently thumbing your clit, rubbing your lips, and waiting. As you ponder the mystery of why her eyes seem so much clearer now than they did on the road. And when is she going to return?